So shall we start by praying? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you speaking to us in the book of Ruth today. We pray that as we open your scripture now, you will open our hearts to listen and bless each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today is the 23rd of October, exactly 1 month ago, which is 23rd of September. There is the good news that all the Hong Kong people has been waiting. We have been waiting for good news has been announced in Hong Kong. The government, do you know what I'm talking about? The government has finally lifted the compulsory quarantine requirement on arrival to Hong Kong. Isn't that good news? The requirement for pre-departure PCR test was also dropped before arriving the city. With the relaxed rules, many who have been waiting for years for going overseas for holidays are overjoyed. I read in a newspaper interview that a father who was about to board a flight to fly to Japan with his family, we know that we have a very good newcomer from Japan today, and said that he was so excited that he couldn't sleep well and in anticipation of this trip. Guess he's not about the children exciting, it's the father who was so excited for they're going to board this plane to go for the holiday. Because of that, the father cannot sleep. In seeking rest in this overdue holiday, many are restless and getting sleepless. Rest is an interesting matter, isn't it? We think of taking lunch breaks after 11 o'clock, isn't it? And after lunch, we check our watch constantly because we are going to think, when can we go back home to finish the day's work? We look forward to weekends, our counting down from Wednesday, and we dream for holidays. Even if you are workaholic and you do not look forward for any break, you still cannot work infinitely. As human, we just have to stop and rest. Most of us will be refreshed after resting through recreations, leisure activities, and holiday breaks. And for every one of us, going to bed at the reasonable time and hours of the day is the best and the cheapest way to get rest, isn't it? Needless to mention, sweet sleep, good quality of sleep, is precious rest, and that is priceless. Today, as Pastor Jeffrey said, the sermon is titled Quest for Rest. Rest is not only the central theme of Ruth 3, it also brackets the whole chapter. It begins with Naomi seeking rest for Ruth in verse 1 and ends with a certainty that Boaz will not rest until he settled the matter that day in verse 18. In our last sermon back in the beginning of chapter 2, Naomi is still in her depressed mood. Ruth is the one who took the initiative to capitalize the season of harvest and suggests a mission, going to the field to glean and pick up grain for food. In the field, Ruth met Boaz, one of the Elimelech's redeemer. Naomi has been energized by the coincidence since, and she starts to see the future in a new light and shake off her bitterness. In the beginning of this chapter, chapter 3, Naomi is the one who took the initiative to capitalize the matter and suggest a mission, seeking a new husband and a home for the roof, for the good of Ruth. Verse 1, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? From seeking food, the two women now shift their focus to seek for rest. But the kind of rest they are seeking could not be the one that I've just mentioned early on. Naomi and Ruth live in a very different society where women's protection can only come from the security of her marriage and family. Ruth, as a young childless widow, Naomi wants to secure a rest that gives marriage, children, home, and protection to her. So you might remember back in Ruth 1, Naomi imparting farewell to her daughters-in-law, she has already prayed for Ruth and Orpah to have rest. Chapter 1, verse 9, The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. To us, it would be rather amazed to talk of finding rest by having a husband. Do you find it strange? In a household to manage to have rest. All of us know how much work it takes to run a house, to raise children, and to taking care of a husband. My daughter, should I not seek rest for you, that it may be well with you? This quest for rest is not a search for relaxation, for leisure. It is a search for the wellness, or as the NIV translates, as a provision. This wellness is opposite to emptiness and vulnerability. It is a rest from anxiety and worry and shame of being a widow. It is a quest for the ease of mind with the protection, financial security in a house with a husband. And so Naomi comes up with a plan, a detailed plan. Let me read to you. Is not Boaz a relative with whose young women you were? See his winnowing barley tonight at the end of the threshing, at the threshing floor. So it is our opportunity. Prepare yourself. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself. Put on some perfume and put on your cloak, so your jacket, the best clothes that you can wear, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. So she has to hide herself and wait for the best timing. But when he lies down, he observes the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. Is it a fascinating plan? Isn't it? What do you think? It's capitalized the season of winnowing, when workers usually still work in the field for long hours and sleep there without going back home. Naomi is taking this opportunity and send Ruth for marriage proposal. Ruth has to prepare herself to go on the threshing floor. She then has to hide herself and observe where Boaz, and until a favorable time comes about. That is when Boaz would not be most relaxed and merry after food and drinks. Ruth cannot leave this matter to chance, so she has to wait and observe carefully on the spot where Boaz lie down. So then, even in the dark, she would not approach the wrong person, okay? She has to approach the right person at the right time. Ruth is to go down and lie down under Boaz's feet and wait until he stirs and tell her what to do. Well, what do you all think about this plan? It is a thorough plan, right? Yet the secrecy, the darkness, the lying down in the threshing floor, building up puzzles and questions in us, and even leaving us as a reader in suspense. What was the purpose of these gestures? Is there any suggestion of sexual seduction? What would Naomi expect Boaz to tell Ruth to do? Why didn't she directly just approach Boaz on the tongue of the tongue of elders on the matter of marriage in the morning? Isn't it too dangerous and risky for the safety of Ruth and the reputation of Boaz? You might still remember that in chapter 2, we have highlighted that Boaz had to command his men not to touch Ruth in the daytime. So how much more dangerous would it be in the field at the nighttime? And even nothing bad happened, there's still risk of scandal, isn't it? From the book of Hosea, chapter 9, verse 1, it is known that threshing floor is a common place for prostitution. Ruth might easily be misidentified as one of the prostitutes. Thus, no one can deny there are dangers involved in this plan. But given that Naomi has already planned everything in details, we can only say that she must have calculated this risk and concluded that these risks are worth taking. Naomi has known that Yahweh is a God whose kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead. We know that from last chapter. Also, God has a clear sign of spreading his wings over them in bringing Boaz into their life. And also, both Boaz and Ruth's character has already been seen in the earlier chapter as a man of standing and a woman of noble in this chapter. It would be going too far to believe that this is a sin of sexual seduction than an invitation to commit to marriage. We all have to remember, although Boaz is one of the kinsmen redeemer, but this duty is not obligatory. Some believe that this bold move under the feet of Boaz ensures that both can converse privately. This can leave Boaz to consider his willingness without humiliating or pressurizing him in front of the elders if he would not like to redeem Ruth. Anyway, what lies in front of us is a big night. Let me tell you what has happened in brief, as we have just heard it in the readings. In verse 5 to 6, Ruth immediately obeyed and followed exactly as Naomi's plan. "All that you say, I do." She went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law commanded her. And not only so, everything happened according to plan. Boaz did wake up and saw a woman and startled, but he didn't cry out, just softly asking, "Who are you?" And Ruth replied, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." Up to this point, Ruth has been following the instructions of Naomi, but her answer now deviated from Naomi's plan. Instead of coming to Boaz to quest for a home, Ruth is questing for a redeemer. In her love to Ruth, Naomi wants to seek rest for Ruth, but in her love back to Naomi, Ruth wants to seek a redeemer for the Elimelech's family. Ruth, in asking Boaz to spread his wings over her, she is reminding Boaz of his own words in his previous prayer. Boaz has spoken to Ruth in their first encounter and called for God of Israel to richly reward her. Let us go through this chapter 2, verse 12 again. This PowerPoint, we saw it last time. "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Ruth has carefully chosen to use the same word, "Spread your wings over your servant." Ruth has a plan within Naomi's plan. She's asking Boaz to answer his own prayers by extending it into actions so that God's rich blessings and reward will come to her through him. In the Bible, under God's wing is an often repeated metaphor for the protection, care, and foster of God. Unlike a fortress, as I said last time, protection of the wings is warm, cozy, and homely. Feathers bring comfort and even serenity. This peace is a blessed sense of divine presence and gives security and rest that transcends all understandings. Ruth is questing Boaz to marry her and provide her this rest. But what is more, Ruth is questing Boaz to marry her to give rest for the Naomi's family. According to Ruth, Boaz should marry her because he is a kinsman redeemer. And I explained in the last sermon that a redeemer is a technical term for a male relative who has special obligation for the family, according to the Israelite law, to help in a difficult circumstances, including marrying a widow, so that she can have heir for the family to inherit property. Ruth is reminding Boaz that he has this responsibility. So Naomi has planned and Ruth has actioned. The suspense is now reaching the peak as everyone awaits for Boaz's reaction. The future of the living and the dead, Ruth, Naomi, Elimelech's family, all tucked under the response of Boaz to the quest. So breaking the silence of the dark night, Boaz responded, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." So Boaz's words finally relieved the suspense and tension. Far from being offended and brushed Ruth off on waking everyone up and embarrass her, Boaz addressing her twice kindly as, my daughter, do not fear. He is, in fact, pleased. He even declared his blessings and praises for Ruth. Once again, Boaz prayed that Ruth may be fully blessed by Yahweh. And he specified her praiseworthiness by making comparison. This last kindness of Ruth, that is her willingness to provide Naomi an heir by marrying a redeemer like Boaz, far exceeds her first kindness to Naomi that Boaz has commanded Ruth in their first encounter. The first kindness, as we all remember, no doubt refers to Ruth's loyalty and love to Naomi, her sacrifice and courage in committing to Naomi's God by leaving her own land and people. And Boaz gave an interesting reason why this last kindness is greater than the first. It is a remarkable kindness because there were alternatives. There were other men, younger men than Boaz, men that are richer than Boaz, men that are even more handsome and more loving than Boaz. Ruth, as a widow, is free to choose again whom she will marry, like Orpah, the other sister-in-law. But Ruth bound herself only to the redeemer of the Elimelech's family. This is a remarkable loyalty to Naomi and her late husband. And this is the kindness that Boaz is mentioning that is greater than her first kindness. And this is this selfless concern that Boaz is praising Ruth. Boaz answered to Ruth's request with three magic words that we always heard in a marriage vow. What is that? I will do. Yes, I do. I will do all that you ask. Boaz gives Ruth more than an answer. He gives a solemn promise. As the Lord lives, I, in the passage which is an emphatic I there, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Wow, what do you all think? What an answer, isn't it? Giving us both a relief now and a joy. But the wedding bell does not ring straight away. Though Boaz gave Ruth the word of his promise, he told Ruth there is a complication. He is only second to the line of Redeemer. There is one which is closer in relation to than him. As a noble man of standing, we know Boaz will settle things in a proper way. He assured Ruth that he will handle their first early in the next morning. And what Ruth now has to do is to wait. With that, he sends Ruth back to Naomi with another awesome amount of barley. Ruth left the field when it is still dark, yet she is now going back home with the note of light, waiting for the dawn to break in her life. So here brings us to the closing of the chapter. Naomi must be waiting anxiously at home. You know, what do you think about what Naomi is doing for the whole night? She must be, I imagine her pacing through the, you know, up and down in the whole house, you know, anxiously peeking the door and the window and looking occasionally and eager to know how the plan works out. So listen carefully to the conversation as they see each other again. In verse 16 to 18. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, How do you fare, my daughter? Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She, Naomi, replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. So Ruth arrived home with good news. The narrative did not repeat all the wordings of Boaz, but summarized Ruth's report in these few words. She told her all that the man had done for her. To us, did Boaz do a lot of things? What did he do? He didn't do much at this point of time, right? Except asking Ruth to hold out her garment and measure 6 measures of barley for her to bring home. We all agree that delivering gifts to future mother-in-law is very important, isn't it? Or the man here, isn't it? Especially elaborate gifts, you know, if you're thinking to marry her daughter. 6 measures of barley equates to around 58 to 95 pounds of food. Imagine, almost 100 pounds, 58 to 95 pounds of food. Boaz probably is sending gifts that can fill up the whole fridge and all the kitchen in the kitchen and express his sincerity and concern for their physical needs. It's many things that this generosity implies more than that. The only direct wordings of Boaz quoting in Ruth's report is an explanation of why he's sending her the barley. These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for is a word that means because, that is the reason he said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. So an empty-handed mother-in-law. Naomi in empty-handed. Does it ring a bell? I see some knock, isn't it? Emptiness is the title of the first sermon that I gave when we start Ruth. Back in Ruth 1, Naomi in her bitterness declared that I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. Ruth 1:21. Naomi's life is filled with emptiness, from empty cabinets to empty home. She's left without her husband and sons. This time, Boaz is not sending Ruth home with baskets of grain, if you remember last chapter, but garments of grain. And this is a very significant detail too. The garment is in fact a shawl, which is NIV has translated, which is a large piece of cloth wear over the shoulders of the head, which is similar to the one I brought at home. Ooh, sorry. So, which is similar, a shawl is like a big piece of cloth, like the Israelite women wear when they go out. And let me wear it. And well, women wear it when they go outdoors, but it's commonly used by women to, do you know what do they use it for? To carry a baby. This is the way Ruth would have looked like. I'm thinking, imagining, that it might be the way she's carrying her grain. With the cloth, it must be bigger than that, maybe, to carry it like carrying a baby and the grain back. So Naomi's left hand actually lacks of seeds, which is the food and grain that they look for. And the right hand also lacks of seed, which is children, the seed in the womb. Boaz is sending a visual, a verbal message back to Naomi, and of course to Ruth too. He's going to fill up the empty cabinets and the empty home. He's going to fill both Naomi and Ruth's empty hands, both left and both right hand. We can imagine that a garment with six measures, so all these cloth, whole piece of cloth with grains on it, is in fact, what does it look like to you? It's a big, it's a large engagement ring. A shining diamond ring, which is very catchy, very big. I don't have one, so I cannot show off here. So it's like the some diamond ring, an engagement ring. Once you wear it on your finger, no one cannot notice it. Everyone has to see it. In delivering food, Boaz is delivering a promise. Not sure about Ruth, but Naomi's definitely got the message. She seems very pleased with how things turn out. Though there's a complication of another candidate of Redeemer lineup, yes, Naomi seems not disturbed by that at all. For she knows Boaz is a man of worthy. He is a trustworthy man and she can count on his promise to be delivered. She told Ruth of what she should do. Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. So putting an engagement ring on the finger of a girl, a man delivers a solemn promise and a firm commitment to marry her soon. Naomi is telling Ruth, all she needs to do now is to wait, as a bride awaits for the wedding day. All she needs to do now is to trust and wait, for Boaz will not rest until he settles the matter that day. For the matter now rests in Boaz's hands and not theirs. Boaz bore the unrest so that Naomi and Ruth can now rest. We start this chapter with a quest for rest. Naomi wishes to secure a rest for home and wellness for Ruth. This is not a rest in recreation or leisure, but a rest in having a marriage with children, a home with provision and protection. It is a rest from anxiety and shame of being a poor foreign widow, a quest for the ease of mind with protection, of financial security and a future with children in the house of a husband. As the story unfolds, we also see another quest, which I have mentioned just now. Ruth wishes to secure a rest for Naomi too. It is a quest for a redeemer, so that the Elimelech's family might have an heir again and rest from shame and hopelessness. So friends and brothers and sisters, let me ask you, does Ruth and Naomi has rest at the end of this chapter? So what do you all think? Yes? Who say yes can raise up their hand? Who say no? Oh, no one raised any hands. So the answer is, you don't want me to trick you. It's yes and no, isn't it? No, because Ruth has not married with a home yet, and Naomi does not have an heir, so no. But yes, they have rest. They can rest with the complete confidence that Ruth will be married. Just we do not know whom she will marry at this stage. If the closer redeemer will not redeem her, Boaz will surely redeem her. Thus, in the either way, Ruth is going to marry, isn't it? She just don't know who she's going to marry, but she will marry either that man or Boaz. So though the wedding bells has not yet rung, but the firm promise has led these two women in rest. No more planning, no more action, no more worry or puzzle. They just have to wait at home. Waiting patiently and waiting with faith. For because their Redeemer will not rest until he settles the matter. They have now received the down payment of the six measures of barley, the guarantee of the engagement ring, in such with a hope that they can now rest from today. The firm promise from their Redeemer, Boaz, who is also a man of noble character, leave them in rest with serenity and peace. Moreover, we should not miss the point which also Yahweh is behind the picture of this chapter, as he in the last chapter. Yahweh, their refuge, their God, whose wings these two women are hiding, are giving them assurance of their rest. The empty-handed Naomi turns out not empty. She not only having one redeemer, she is now having two redeemers of her family. Behind Boaz's promise, God is sending a double assurance for them to know of his mercy, his care, and love. They can assure and wait on God with rest. So let me ask you, friends, are you questing for rest? Are you dying to go to Japan? No? So are you questing for rest? My question today is, are you questing for rest as the one that seeks by Ruth and Naomi? The rest that will lift you up from your emptiness, your bitterness, and your hopelessness. The rest to release you from worries and anxieties of life. The rest to free you from the bondage of sins and guilt. The rest to provide you with peace and serenity at all circumstances. Friends, how can we rest? Ruth and Naomi found rest on the day they went to the Redeemer. On the night they went to the Redeemer. They found it when they trust in the Redeemer's promise. No longer do they need to plan or risk or do any action. All they need to do now is to wait. Wait on the promise of the Redeemer. Wait on the restless work of the trustworthy Redeemer. Until the next chapter, we do not know whether Boaz will be the ultimate Redeemer. Yet the Bible made it all clear that Jesus is our Redeemer, the ultimate Redeemer of the world. He bore the unrest so that we might have rest. Jesus is committed to do the work of God, to finish his works on the cross, so that whoever trusts in his promise will have rest, starting from today till eternity. Matthew 11:28-29. Let's read it together. If you can see it. Or maybe I'll read it to you. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me, all you who are labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Ruth has to go to her Redeemer secretly in the field, isn't it? But the good news of Jesus, the Redeemer, is that he sent out invitations to everyone openly. He calls for everyone, all of you who labor and heavy laden are to come. If the burden on your shoulder is too heavy for you now, brothers and sisters, come to Jesus. If you feel you're wearied and pressed down on all of your sides, come to Jesus. The weight of sins and the wrath of God is too much for you to bear and carry yourself. Come now at once. Not tomorrow, not next year, not next month, but now at once to Jesus. Trust and believe in Jesus' promise, and he will give you rest at once. Come now by the act of instantaneous faith, and he will give you instantaneous peace. For Jesus will give you rest now. Though we have to wait for the eternal rest in our heaven home, but our souls will rest from now. Our souls will rest from now. If the character of the Boaz and his promise, the tag with the engagement ring, could bring rest to both these widows to wait with the hope for him to complete his work, how much more would Jesus, the Son of God, who sealed up with the Holy Spirit of promise, bring us rest and hope of eternal rest starting from today? Holy Spirit is a pledge of Jesus' love for us. With God's Spirit living in us, we have the safest protection and the security in life. And we can wait patiently to meet our Redeemer, the Lord of Sabbath, face to face one day. And we are reminded in Titus 2:11-15 that we have to wait, not just wandering around, doing lazy work, but we have wait with blessed hope, with self-control, upright and godly lives, renouncing ungodly and worldly passions. But brother and sister, I do not want you to mix up fruit and seed. Remember, Jesus' invitation is come, it is not do, and it is not even learn. Rest is a gift. It is a free gift of grace. All that is asked of you is you come and you will have it. You come and you will have it. Without work, without marriage, it's just come. Come as you are, come with your burden, and the promise will be fulfilled. I will give you rest. It is a gift, free gift for all of us, but costly for Jesus. We are to have rest in our Redeemer's unrest, as we see in this chapter of Ruth. Come to Jesus at his cross, load your burden at his pierced feet, and he will give you rest. Come to Jesus, come to him alone, as we sang just now. Come to him alone and hide under his wings, and he is your refuge, and he promised to wipe out all your tears and carry you through what you are going through now. It is a present rest, not just rest after death. So today, for the quest of rest by Naomi and Ruth, we come to understand a great gospel truth in a deeper way. At the end of the day, only two things are necessary to have rest. If you want to have rest, there's two things that you need to have. First is to quest. Come to Jesus, seek our Lord, ask for his mercy, knock on his door, knock on the Father's door. To come to is to leave one thing and to move to another. So put aside your pride and come just as your knees. Leave aside your self-reliance and come with your repentant heart. So to have rest, first you have to quest. Second, you have to believe, have faith, and trust in the promise of the Redeemer. Ruth's wedding bell has not rung yet, but she starts to have rest from the night she trusts in the promise of her Redeemer. Today, your circumstances, my circumstances, and hardships that we are facing are not yet altered, but with faith, you can enter rest starting from now. Hebrews 3 and 4 elaborates this truth. The whole generation, if you remember, the whole generation of the Israelites cannot enter God's rest, cannot enter the homeland of rest because of their unbelief in the promise of God. For who are those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter rest because of unbelief. Hebrews 3, 16, 18. Ruth has to enter rest through quest and faith in the Redeemer's word. Naomi has to enter rest through quest and trust in the Redeemer's promise. Israelite has to enter rest through quest and belief, which they haven't and they cannot go in. You and I are no exception. We are to enter rest through quest and belief in Christ alone. For Jesus is the one who made the promise, and I will give you rest. In his love to us, he has sealed his promise with his blood. And so now, let us spend a moment to pray and to reflect of what we have heard today. And I pray that Lord will speak to you through the passage today in our heart. You can pray to God, and I will close in prayer. Father, we are coming to you, broken as we are, in our emptiness, in our distress, in our sinful hands. We're coming to you as a prodigal son. We're coming for your forgiveness. Cleanse us, wash us by the promise of the blood of Christ that will be your son, your daughters in your house. Father, we come to you to hide under your wings. We're in fear, anxious, and worry. Some of us might even lost. But Father, we come together under your wings today as we wait for the peace that you promised for us. That once we come to you, you'll grant us peace and rest. Jesus, we all come to you with our labor, with our load, with our deep sorrow. But as we look up to the cross today, as we listen to the word in the roof today, Book of Ruth today, we see your cross. We see your cross shining like a diamond ring. In the cross, you sealed the promise that you will give us rest in you with your own blood. So Lord, if we are weak, as the Israelites, if we want to wander away, if we wait too long, if we feel that we've been waiting too long, Lord, give us hope. Give us the reminder from your scripture today, the Holy Spirit in us as a down payment, as a real sure assurance that you will completely bring us to you, to home one day. But today, we'll get this rest in complete confidence if we come to you today. We thank you for giving us this gift. And we pray that every one of us here, everyone who listened to this sermon today, will come to you as we are and will wait at your table, wait for your grace, and we'll have this rest that you promised. And we pray in the Son's name. Amen.